Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
So glad you joined with us as we celebrate the wonder of God's gift to us this Christmas. The impossible is about to happen in a stable. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them has the light shined. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, be the God of our Christmas celebration. We rejoice with the shepherds over the good news of Jesus' birth. We join in the praises of the angelic choir, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." Almighty God, you have favored us with the greatest gift ever given, your only begotten Son, light of true light, God of true God. May we never take this, your gift, for granted. May our songs of praise never fade, and may we treasure it in our hearts always and forever. Bless all of us here gathered in worship, as well as our loved ones at home. May peace and joy ring in our hearts and reverberate through our communities tonight. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the newborn King. Amen.
First lesson from Isaiah the prophet, chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. A branch from Jesse. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness will he judge the needy. With justice will he give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious.
Jesus does not arrive in the world by accident. Over and over again, Scripture assures us that God makes a plan to send a Savior in our everyday time and space. By worldly standards, the stable of a crowded inn on a winter night does not seem like a good choice. Yet this is the time and place in which God's plan is revealed. The waiting stable reminds us of the plans and preparations of God and the faithfulness of the prophets who herald God's work.
Our second lesson is from Luke 1, verse 26 to 38. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God would give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her.
God's plan hung by a slender thread. It depended on a young woman's choice to say yes. Gabriel came to Mary with news. The long wait for the fulfillment of God's plan is over, and he has chosen her, to work with him. The time is coming for her to be the mother of the Savior. Mary did not give in to disbelief or fear. She said, let it happen to me the way you have said. Mary said yes to God.
The third lesson is from Matthew 1:18 to 25. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 7, verse 14. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Mary and Joseph had planned to marry and to have the same kind of life together that all young couples hope for. But when Mary was found to be pregnant, all their plans were turned upside down. With help from an angel, Joseph was able to imagine a very different future. He was willing to put aside his previous dreams and accept a new future with a new calling, protector to the Savior.
The fourth lesson, Luke 2, verses 1 to 7, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
The baby came exactly the way the prophet said he would. Isaiah says, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Micah speaks of one who will come from Bethlehem, a small and unimportant town, and will be ruler in Israel. Isaiah also predicts, a shoot shall come forth from the stump of Jesse. Jesse, you may remember, is the father of King David. Joseph traced his ancestry to the family of King David. In a literal sense, Jesus has a place in the descendants of Jesse. While Joseph and Mary seemed on first appearance to simply be obeying the decrees of the Roman emperor, they were bringing about the larger purposes of God.
The fifth lesson, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, the shepherds and the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
The birth of Jesus gives us reason to celebrate here on earth, but the citizens of heaven have even more reason to rejoice. They can see God's work fully realized. For a few minutes on a hillside near Bethlehem, heaven and earth rejoice together. The angels give the startled shepherd a glimpse of the meaning of God's activity in all eternity.
Lesson 6, St. John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. Chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. The shepherd and his flock. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father."
Jesus often speaks of himself as a good shepherd. He compares his life among God's people with the work of those shepherds on the hill. Faithfully, they stay with the sheep night and day, guiding them to food and water, protecting them from cliffs and wild animals. And, at the very last, they bring the sheep safely home to their owner.
The seventh lesson, Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11. Imitating Christ's humility. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
From the earliest pictures of Jesus' birth, artists have included animals worshiping at the manger along with human beings. Animals here at this time help us to understand that we are part of a larger creation. We share this world with all kinds of living creatures. Jesus came not just to forgive our sins, but to restore all of creation to perfection, such as we can barely imagine.
The eighth lesson tonight is from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written."
"But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."
Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Religious men and women in Israel had been longing for the Messiah, one who would restore the fortunes of the nation. The mysterious strangers, scholars from the East, were the first to recognize Jesus' coming has meaning for all nations. Jesus comes as Savior not just for his own people, not just for religious people, but for all people.
Our ninth lesson tonight is found in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
God became man and dwelt among us. In silence we ponder. In awe we confess this amazing truth. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, the eternal Son of God humbled himself to be one with us. To Israel and to the world came God in Christ. God's nature is expressed in Jesus, the very Word of God. Through him were all things made. His life is the light of the world.
Oh,
Let's pray. God of power and goodness, you hear our prayers before we speak them, yet you are delighted when we pour out our hearts to you. We recognize tonight that you are in charge of our lives. Work out your plans for us and for all your people, so that we hear the message of new life that Jesus brings, believe his words, and follow the new ways in which he leads us. We thank you for the message of joy and hope that Christmas brings to a world calloused by suffering. We remember in your presence the homeless and hungry millions, our brothers and sisters who need food and shelter, clean water, peace, and hope. As we remember that Jesus was born into an oppressive regime and that he became a refugee in Egypt because of threats to his life, we remember those who live in lands filled with injustice that cannot escape. Break through the logjams of power politics and replace these situations with compassion and wisdom and generosity. We remember at this time refugees coming into our country or other people who have lost everything to war and unrest. Give to each of us wise and loving hearts to replace the fear we may have of the new and the different. We remember the sick and the grieving, for whom remembered joys cloud this season. We pray for those who are traveling in this season. Watch over them and bring them safely home. And we pray for all who will work tonight while we sleep and serve our community tomorrow while we feast. We ask for all these blessings in the name of Jesus, who came and lived among us and who taught us to pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Mary and Joseph, and the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.